Now, if I said to you, it's a mystery, you would think I was saying one of two things. Either there's some case to be cracked, in which case we should call Sherlock Holmes in and he could figure it out, or I'd be talking about something we'll never know. It's a mystery. But in the Bible, they use the term mystery a little bit differently. In the Bible, a mystery is a reality that we could not figure out. Even Sherlock Holmes could not figure out. But it's also a reality that God has revealed to us. It's something that can be known. And it's one thing to believe in God, that God exists. It's another thing to know what He's doing. It's another thing to know what you're doing, right? Sometimes we struggle, we think that's a mystery, to know what in the world we're doing here. But if we come to Jesus, and if we learn from Him, Paul is saying that we are part of this mystery. We can get in on this mystery of what God is doing, what our lives are all about. God is showing the world something, and He's allowing us to be a part of that. And that means that the church has something of ultimate importance to offer to the world. The church has something of ultimate importance to offer to the world. Now, we know we have something to offer. We can offer great Polish food. We can offer the world nice people. But there's something bigger that we can be a part of that God has given us to give and pass on to the world. And now mysteries of all kinds have questions involved in them. So I thought we would ask three questions this morning that I think help us to understand this mystery a little bit better. And the first question is, who is Paul? Who is Paul? Now, that might be mystery enough for some of you. We've been talking about Paul for about 5 weeks. We've been reading through Ephesians. We've been talking about Paul for 5 weeks, and some of you still might not know. I don't even know who Paul is. Why are we listening to him? Why are we reading this letter that he's written? And Paul, in chapter 3, tells us a little bit about himself. And that little bit he tells us gives us some insight into this mystery of who he is, but also the mystery that God is showing to us. In verse 1 of chapter 3, he says, this is the reason, this gospel that he was talking about before, is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Now, last week we talked about Gentiles. We said the world was basically broken up, according to the Jews, into two kinds of people. There were Jews and there were non-Jews, and those were the Gentiles. And Paul was a Jew. Paul was a very passionate Jew. Paul was what we call a Pharisee, and the Pharisees were extremely passionate that Judaism, that their religion remained a pure religion. And so Paul and many of the Jews were not big fans of Christians. They felt that Christians, many of whom were Jews at this time, incidentally, but those Jews who had become Christians and followers of Jesus were polluting the Jewish faith. And Paul didn't like Gentiles much either. Because if Christians were kind of a perversion of Judaism, Gentiles had missed the boat completely. And so Paul was a passionate person, but he was a person who hated Christians. In fact, he killed them. He's a person that hated Gentiles until Paul met Jesus. Until Paul met the resurrected Jesus. He was on his way to execute more Christians, and Paul saw Jesus on the road. And his life was changed. Paul, who at one time hated Christians, hated Gentiles, became a Christian. And funny enough, this is how God works. Paul was called to preach this good news and to serve Gentiles. And as you can imagine, a Jew like this would have faced some opposition from his friends who were also still passionate about the purity of the Jewish religion. And so when Paul talked about this gospel, that Jesus was this Messiah, that Jesus was this king that they had been waiting for. When he said that Jesus was raised from the dead, that didn't quite fit with what these Jews believed either. And then, even maybe most controversial of all, when Paul said that God wanted to bring Gentiles into his family, Paul faced some significant opposition. And he was beaten. He was put into jail many times, and one of those times is the time where he writes this letter. Paul is writing this letter from prison. And so, in verse 1, we have to know that to understand how radical of a statement verse 1 is. He says, for this reason, I, Paul, am a prisoner of Christ Jesus. So Paul says, even though I'm sitting here in chains, even though I'm a prisoner right now, even though I kind of have to do what other people tell me, really, I do what Jesus tells me to do. I'm here because Jesus has me here. I'm here because I'm a servant, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And he says, I'm here for the sake of the Gentiles. And that's such an amazing thing. This man who one time hated Gentiles now is willing to suffer persecution, to go to prison so that they could know this good news. And he talks about this mystery that God has that's been shown to him. He says, you know how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind as it now has been revealed. And then in verse 7, of this gospel I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. And his task, his calling in verse 8, he says, although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in the God who created all things. So what Paul has seen of this mystery, this good news about Jesus, has become the focus, the center of his life. And he says, basically, I am a mouthpiece for God. Now, we might think that sounds arrogant. So I'm speaking for God. He said, who are you to speak for God? But Paul doesn't mean it in arrogance. He says it with all humility. In 7 verses, Paul uses the words gift, given, grace 7 times. Just read verse 2. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you. And in verse 7, of this gospel I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of this power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me. Paul is humbled by being let in on this mystery. He doesn't see it as this message that he has to, that he's discovered, I've solved the case, now you should follow me. He says, no, I've received a gift. And I want others to share in that gift. I need to pass it on. That's who Paul is. And that is the power that this mystery, being let in on this mystery, can have on our lives. The second question that Paul addresses here is what is the church? What is the church? Do you ever ask that? You say, I'm going to church on Sunday morning, but do you ever say, what is the church? What is it all about? Why am I going to this thing I call church? What is it? In the New Testament, and even last week, Paul uses lots of images for what the church is. Last week we talked about how it's the body of Christ, a person almost, to represent God to the world. He said it's a temple made of all the people that follow Jesus. Well, I want to give you another image that I think relates to what Paul is saying about the church here. I think the church is like a stained glass window. The church is like a stained glass window. You see, the job of a stained glass window is to take sunlight, the light of the sun that's shining all over the place, and make sense of it. When I visited with my family, we went to Italy a few years ago, and we went to some of these huge cathedrals in Rome and Florence, and in some of these cathedrals, they had these stained glass windows that went all the way around the church. And these stained glass windows were telling a story, and if you followed them around, you learned part of this Bible story or part of the history of the church or some story. And what they were doing was they were taking this sunlight, and as the sunlight shone through these windows, we could make sense of it. We learned something. We found something out about who this church was or who we were or who God was. You see, the glory of God fills the earth. The Bible tells us the glory of God fills the earth. It's everywhere. People could see it everywhere and sense it everywhere. We can see the beauty of God in His creation. We can see the power of God in His creation. And it's no surprise that there are so many religions. So many people say, I sense God all over the place. Have you ever heard someone say, well, I experience God in nature? Why not? God created nature. God created this world. We can experience God in all of these various places. We are spiritual beings. This is a spiritual world. We can sense the Creator. We can sense that there is something more. But for most people, for many people, this is just a sense. We may experience God in nature, but we still have these questions. What is true? Why am I here? How do I live? Those things remain a mystery to us. But God has something more for us. God wants us not to just know that He exists. He wants us to know Him. And He wants to tell us a story. And that's where the church comes in. We are like the stained glass windows that take this presence of God that can be sensed all over the world and make sense of it to the world. Say, this is who God has shown Himself to be. This is the story that we can be a part of. As we said back in chapter 2, we are God's masterpiece. We get to show the world who God is and what He has done. As His glory shines through us, the world gets to see what God is like and hear the story of what He's done. And that gift that He's given us, that gift that Paul was so passionate about passing on to other people, that gift is that God changes our lives. Just like He changed Paul's life, He can change our lives. He can bring us into a relationship with Him. He can show us why we're here. He can show us what our purpose is. He can show us why we have the gifts and the talents and the skills and the experiences that we have. He can show us how we can use those. And He can show us how we can live a life of love and joy and peace. And as people look at us, as people see our lives changed, they start to see that story of what God is doing in this world through Jesus. And we can invite them to be a part of that story. That's what the church is. The church takes the glory of God and makes sense of it to the world. It says, here is who God is, and here is what we can be a part of. The third question that I think this text answers is why? Why? Why is God telling us all this? Why is God inviting us into this mystery? Why? I think Paul's answer is because that's who God is. Look at his prayer in verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. God is like a father. He created us. He cares for us. From whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through His Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. He wants to be a part of your life. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. And God loves us. I want you to think about that. You see, God created a masterpiece. This world was a masterpiece. We were a masterpiece. But we kind of mess things up, don't we, sometimes? We kind of make a mess of this masterpiece. That's how it was from the beginning. Now, what if you made a masterpiece? What if you painted this beautiful picture? What if you made this sculpture and someone came and broke it? What would you do? You'd probably toss it out. All those hours, all that time wasted. Get rid of it, move on. That's not how God works. Because He loves us, He takes us back. He says, you guys mess things up a lot, but I want to be with you. I want to be in relationship with you. I want to be a part of your life. And I want other people to see this too. And I'm going to allow you to do that work. And that is grace. It's only when we know how much Jesus loves us, the height and breadth and depth and length of Jesus' love for us, only then will we understand the mystery of what God is doing in this world, what God wants to do with your life. Only when we understand how much Jesus loves us, only then will we want or need to share it with others. I think all of this begs one more question. How do I get in on that mystery? How do I learn that mystery? How do I have that life? How do I share that story? Well, friends, this is what happens in the church. The church is not a building. The church is people, a group of people who've received a gift. And in the church, we learn to unwrap that gift together. We learn what it means that God loves us, what it means that God calls us. We learn together. We teach each other. We forgive each other. We grow together. We serve together. We tell the story to others together. And it's not an easy thing to do. It doesn't come naturally to us. We need each other for all of that. We need each other. And that's why God calls us into a community called the church. And that's why he puts himself, his spirit, right in the middle of us to help us become all of those things he created us to be. Now, we've talked a lot in the past few weeks about finances. We all know that we are not doing great financially here in this congregation. Many congregations are not. But I think it's important to be clear about when we sit, when we have offerings, when we talk about money, when we ask people to give, why we ask that. Because we're not just asking you to give to an organization. We're not just asking you to give to a club or a social group. We're not even really just asking you to give so that Point Place United Church of Christ can keep its doors open. We're asking you to give because we believe that God has given us a gift. He's allowed us to be in relationship with him. He's given us this gift of a new life, a changed life. And he's given us this gift that we can only unwrap together. He's given us this gift, and he's given us this mission to be his mouthpieces, sharing the story of Jesus, his masterpieces, showing his love and grace to the world. And this is a mission that we can only do together. That's what Paul says the church is. I believe that is what we can become together. I believe we have something, the good news of Jesus, to offer to the world. Do you believe that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we think of all that you have done for us, all of you, all that you have done for this world, all the lives you've changed, all the people you've touched, all the people you've called into relationship with you. Lord, and we are grateful that we can be a part of that. Lord, help us to not grope around just trying to figure out what in the world we're here for. Help us to come to you and start to understand, start to really see what our lives are for. And I pray that as we try and live those lives, you would give us the strength and the encouragement and the power and the vision to actually live that life and to shine your light to the world. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.